Well, in Chicago for a Friday afternoon, futures finished the day lower in the corn and the beans. The wheat was a bit higher, however. July contract, they're up a penny and three quarters. In the soft red at $6.92.5. The hard red finished a penny and a quarter lower at $7.37 for the harvest month July. December corn futures at $4.33.25, down a nickel. March contract, $4.46.25, four and three quarters lower. In the May corn, down 5 cents at $4.54.5. July, 462, down 5 cents. And September corn at 468 and a quarter, down 4 and 3 quarters. December of next year, $4.75 and a half, down 4 and 3 quarters. November beans, $12.66 and 3 quarters, 21 and a quarter cents lower. January at 1266 and a quarter, down 19 and a quarter. And the March at 1254, down 18 and a half cents. May futures, 1239 and a half, down 15 and a half. And July at $12.35, 16 and a half cents lower. Next year's November at $11.58 in the soybean pit, down 14 and a quarter. October bean meal at 422, down 240. Bean oil at 4011. That's 93 cents lower on the afternoon. Live cattle futures finished the October at 128.80, up 50 cents. December were 30 cents higher at 132.47 and a half in the live cattle. October feeders at 167.47 and a half, a buck 55 higher. November at 169.27 and a half, up $1.35. And the lean hogs finished the October at $90.75, 50 cents higher. December futures, $86.50, finished 15 cents lower. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the afternoon. November contract at $101.85 a barrel, $1.16 lower for the day. RBOB gasoline in the November at $2.66.02, down 3.5 cents. Ethanol futures a penny and 2 cents lower at $1.71.7. And the difference between the two is now at 94.5 cents on the spread. That's 2.2 cents narrower than it was yesterday. Natural gas at $3.78, up 5.7 tenths of a cent. Diesel fuel at $3.02 and 9 tenths of a cent, 4 cents higher, rather 4 cents lower. And the gold futures at $1,268.10 an ounce, down $28.60. The U.S. dollar trading at 80.35 is down 0.06 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Mostly sunny skies, a high of 80 degrees. On a southeast wind at 11 miles an hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low of 57 degrees. And then tomorrow, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Mostly cloudy, a high of 79. On a southeast wind at 8 to 11 miles an hour. Mostly clear on Saturday evening in a 48-degree low. West winds at 6 to 8. Sunny skies and 71 on Sunday. Sunday night, mostly clear and 44. And on Columbus Day, that's Monday, sunny and a high of 70 degrees. Monday evening, mostly cloudy and a low of 52. And by the time we get to Tuesday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Mostly cloudy with a high of 70. Those showers and thunderstorms continue into Tuesday night with a low of 50 degrees. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey right here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
You're listening to Illinois Public Media. It is the 10th day, or rather 11th day, of October.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
On the phone line with us for Friday afternoon to take a look at the agricultural futures markets is Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Hello there, Todd.
How are you for the day?
Doing great, thank you.
Well, it looks like the beans came under pressure, and I suspect when everybody runs for the door, in this case, all the combines are running in the bean fields, I think.
Yeah.
Things move lower.
And you saw also, I think, the trade play catch-up with the EPA announcement from yesterday. I think the negativity in the bean oil was much more pronounced than it was yesterday because bean oil actually picked up favor on the EPA announcement due to the fact that the energies ran 3% higher when this RFS mandate proposed document got leaked. And so I think the trade probably came around, like you say, with harvest pressure already in the books, and also the weather models continuing to show a drier and drier and drier bias throughout the week, and pretty much opening up next week for probably, it looks like, five out of the 7 days next week will be able to run in a good portion of the central part of the bean belt. And then throw on top of this that the ethanol issue finally hit the bean oil. I think the soybeans clearly had the weaker suit of cards today going into the end of the week trade.
So let's go through some of that, because the government shut down. This is a leaked document, not an official document, or at least an official release. And there won't be any until, I suppose, the government opens back up. But it did deal with biofuels. Why would the soybeans go down on an RFS or biofuels kind of event?
Quick answer to that question is the biodiesel blending target under this leaked proposal would be frozen at 1.28 billion gallons for 14 and 15, and that would be essentially leaving the industry targeting the exact same level that we've done in 2013. Now, there is new news out there since the grains closed, and it's kind of like a new soap opera in the energy markets as the RINs trade, because the RIN market really gave the first heads up to something was brewing here in this market. Earlier this week, we were trading 2013 RIN contracts at 41 cents on Monday. They went down to 23 cents by today, essentially got cut in half with this news coming out yesterday afternoon. And then they bounced back today, going into the close to 31 cents. EPA did come out with some new updates and finally spoke for the first time, saying that this is only a proposal, only in its draft stage, did not mention the leaked report at all or any of the targets. And they also made it very clear that there's no final decision for the 14 mandate without the, quote, full opportunity for comments by all participants. And then they said they will also seek input on how to grow, quote, unquote, the biofuel industry. So I think there's as many questions after the close today as there were after the close yesterday. And that could mean a snapback in the corn on Sunday night.
Okay, I'll pause just here for a moment for a commercial, if you don't mind. I love the as the RINs turn, by the way. That's really good. So something that's coming up next week on Tuesday that we really haven't talked about, well, we haven't talked about it at all on the air yet, is a webinar that will be on our Will Ag website. If you go there right now, you'll see Aaron Hager as a video. On Tuesday, after this show, during the 3 o'clock hour Central Time, Daryl Good and Scott Irwin and Jeremy Martin, and Jeremy is from the Union of Concerned Scientists, will be in my Mumford Hall office, and we will talk for an hour about the reformulated fuels and the RINs and what the future of the RFS and biofuels might be like. If you're interested, you can be involved in that. Go to the webpage at willag.org, 3 o'clock on Tuesday afternoon. More coming from us later. It will be interactive. You'll be sending me email with questions over that hour, so we hope to have you on site for that one, at least if you can. Also, I will make note that if you're in the Combine, and many of you will be, and you have a smartphone, our WILL Will Ag page, the home page, will size down to the smartphone. Just put your earbuds in and you can listen to the program, because, frankly, we're just videotaping the three of us or four of us talking, but you really need to listen to the audio, so it's pretty easy to do. Thank you, Mike, for letting me put that one in. I know you didn't get a choice in the matter.
No, I'm glad you did, because the folks at U of I mean, they always pump out great stuff, but they've been pumping out some wonderful stuff all year on the ethanol, and it's really helped me as a non-ethanol analyst to really stay up on a lot. And, you know, when they talk about the E85 in one of their most recent documents, I think this becomes really germane to the whole issue, because that release yesterday, or expected release, or whatever you want to call it, Todd, that really pushed the ethanol to unleaded gas price back down to near a dollar discount to the ethanol. And the U of I data shows pretty clearly that where you have E85 pumps in certain states like Minnesota, you can see a really strong correlation to an increase in E85. So between the livestock consumption and having to offset lost DDGs and the growing livestock population, throwing on top this E85 analysis that the U of I people have been doing, you really have to wonder whether this blend wall acknowledgement is really all that bearish. And that's still a question mark, not a statement.
Yeah, okay. Excellent. So I did the story, recorded the interview with Nick Paulson, who did that particular
right.
article earlier in the week, and it will either run Monday or Tuesday. I haven't decided which one of next week. It's a fund drive week, so we have to think about where it runs. But I think I'll run it on Tuesday as a primer to the Tuesday afternoon webinar event. It's about 7 minutes long, but you can find it on ifr.illinois.edu. Don't talk about that one ever before. That's for my radio stations, but you can go and listen to it. So it stands for Illini Farm Report, but like everything else here, it's illinois.edu, and it's ifr.illinois.edu. It's up there already. If you go visit that site, you'll find it. It comes in a couple different forms. The long form is there. It's about 7 minutes long. It's a really good interview with Nick about E85. And as you said, in Minnesota, E85 is used pretty often, but the price of corn has to be pretty low for that to happen sometimes. But it looks like there could be a market for it, that's for sure.
Yeah, and the price of unleaded especially is a much more tight correlation based upon his research, and that was really well done.
All right, good. Okay, back to you and the marketplace. It was a pretty big, deep, steep run in the soybeans down. Did it do any damage to the charts?
Yeah, I mean, you can say that because we were able to get down to the previous week's lows, and essentially that means you're down to two-month lows, that if you would break through the 1260 area, that would open up the door to a technical wave back down to $12. And I think the technicals would match up with the fundamentals in the short term, because we've been running very hard on beans in your part of the country. Even in my part of the country, it seems like beans have really been tried to get pulled out of the field faster than the corn. So we've had the most harvest pressure and also the weakest basis as far as basis slipping from the beginning of the month versus where we're at right now. And so I think the fundamentals and technicals stack up with the idea that the beans probably have the toughest fundamentals in the very short term. Having said that, though, you really are starting to see the meal market come together more. The October-December meal, with October expiring on Monday, is holding almost a $19 to $20 a ton premium or inversion. The January and November beans closed almost identically for the week in terms of the amount down. They're priced almost identical at this price level of $12.66. And so I think you're starting to see, even if you would have a quick shot to the downside, I think you're going to start to see, after a 1 to 2 week time period, a lot more gelling and congealing of the bean market, because some of the bigger picture fundamentals are starting to come together, in my opinion.
Oh, I make note that in the January contract, we have a double bottom in the contract there at 12.65 and three quarters or a half, and pretty close in the November contract to a double bottom there. Are you kind of hopeful that that'll hold and we'll put kind of a harvest low in at this point or not?
Yeah, I am. I think the bean yields are coming through a lot better on the early beans, but I do think they'll probably taper off kind of like the corn. And I think, too, you're starting to see the Chinese meal price get a lot more of attention. You're seeing the Argentine prices get a lot more of attention as well.
Anything that we need to talk about in the corn that we haven't already?
Well, I think the big thing with the corn goes back to not just the mandate, but also the fact that we're getting near some extremely key technical levels around the 424, 425 level. So we're within a nickel, I think, of really testing some major support levels. So I'm going to start turning on the news to clients and producers to really be ready to look at buying back some sales or getting long to try and improve their net selling price based upon what the debt ceiling does next week. That gets real next week, because it's on October 17th that the Treasury Secretary says we've run out of money to pay our bills. So we're still having to weigh that when we make recommendations. But if we get the debt deal done by Sunday night, that would leave open the idea that we're going to get closer and closer to some key support in the corn.
Hey, very quickly, last word. It seemed to me that corn acted pretty good in the face of the EPA leaks.
It did. And, you know, you're trading right now, Todd, it broke today. You're trading Argentine wheat between $500 and $600 a ton, over double what we are here now. And I think that's got to play a role eventually.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd. Have a great weekend.
You too. That is Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. You're listening to Illinois Public Media. This is the closing market report for a Friday afternoon. Your director of ag programming for IPM, Dave Dickey, is here now with today's agricultural news.